Man, we feel like there's such a mandate to be different for Jesus. I mean, like, you know, it can't be the same. We can't be the same this year for Jesus that we were last year for Jesus. Amen. The Spirit of God is moving. He's moving forward. And we've got to follow his lead. So we're, you know, as a church, we're endeavoring to, you know, stir this up and to want to see where there is a need for a difference. And then we just don't want to see that there's a need for a difference. We want to contend for that difference so that it will come to pass. And then we're not going to wait for other people to be the difference. We want to be the difference. You have already been given everything that you need right now in the circumstance and situation that you're in to be an overcomer. Because God is not a God of lack, and he has provided you with everything that you need at every time. And if you need more, he'll give it. It's when we think we need more and we go out on our own that we get ourselves in trouble. Amen? God knows we have everything that we need, so we want to make a difference, especially in this community, because this is where God has us. This is the harvest field which God has placed us in to work with him and other believers in the area. Amen? So, really, you know, the beginning of this year just really felt prompted to start off with prayer, and especially in our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And so last week I started a small series called Prayer That Makes the Difference. And just want to get people stirred up, man. I mean, your prayers are powerful. We talked about that last week. God wants you to know that your prayers are powerful. Your prayers get heaven moving. Your prayers connect to God's power. And when you connect God with God's power, you're helping to make God's power available to other people in their realm of influence around you. Amen? So today, I just wanted to share, continuing on this line with prayer. And I first wanted to start off with, you know, before we came here, in 2011 is when we came here and started the church from Florida. The Lord had kind of like a season that we went through, Natasha and myself. She dreams a lot. I don't dream much. There's been seasons I've gone through. But for about a 1 to almost 2 year period, the Lord was giving me dreams. And it seemed like almost nightly, these dreams and just kind of direction and some impartation things that were going on. And I had a dream that I think we already knew that we were on our way here. That God had put Alexandria in our heart. We were on our way here. And I had a dream that I was in the area, and I was in a kind of like I had taken over a work, you know, or not taken over, but really just kind of became the lead pastor of a church in the area. And when I showed up in the dream, I showed up and I pulled onto the church parking lot, and there was like furniture, like, you know, couches and chairs and dressers just thrown all over the place, like just tossed out. And as I looked closer, I saw like picture frames, and some of the frames were broken, some of the glass was broken, of all these different families just scattered everywhere. And I'm like, what is going on here? And the Lord was really showing me, I believe, one of the things is obviously a condition of the area, but also the condition of the church. Man, people are broken. Families are broken in our culture right now. And prayer really does make the difference. It really does make the difference. And one of the reasons I believe that we don't see the answers to our prayers is just because people stop praying. We stop praying. We stop coming before the Lord. So I really want to take this time this morning, over the next few moments, and just share a scripture and a few other scriptures. But starting in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1, Jesus knew that people would get discouraged at times in prayer, so he taught his disciples a way to not give up. Amen? And it says here in Luke number 18, Jesus was telling his disciples a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Jesus was telling his disciples a parable to show them that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Now here's the parable that he gave. He said there was a widow in a certain city, or in a certain area, you know, and in that city there was a king, or not a king, he was a judge, And the Bible says that he was not a righteous judge. She would come to him, and she had legal right. There was legal right for her. Somebody was afflicting her. She had an opponent or an adversary that was mistreating her or taking advantage of her, her situation. And she came before this judge, and she said, you know, bring me protection, you know, or avenge me. You know, give me legal protection from my adversary. And the judge said, I don't fear God. I don't fear man. For a while, he just let her be. And the Bible says that she kept coming back to him on a daily basis. Bam, coming back. Give me legal protection. You are a judge of the land. You need to do what is right and just according to the seat in which you're sitting in. And he, for some time, he didn't answer. Then finally, the judge said to himself, even though I don't fear God and I have no concern for man, I'm going to give this woman a legal protection against her opponent, unless she continually coming will wear me out. One translation says that the judge was afraid. I mean, she was coming knowing her rights in the land and the laws that were laid. He was afraid she was going to come up and beat him in the eye. One translation says, I don't want this woman serious about this stuff. And so Jesus gave a comparison here. He said, listen to what the unjust judge or the unrighteous judge said. And in verse number 7, he says, will not God bring about justice for his elect? Here's a judge that didn't care anything about God, didn't care anything about people, used his authority or his position really only for his own self-gain and his own gratification, cared nothing about anybody else, but he still did what was right for this widow as she come. He says, If someone who is unrighteous will do that, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry out to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? Now, I want to stop just for a second here because that word elect really means favorite. Favorite. Will not he bring about justice for his favorite? Man, every one of us, if you don't know that this morning, know this, you are God's favorite. Come on. A friend of mine used to go like this, my daddy loves me, my daddy loves me. You got to know that God loves you. You're his favorite. Amen? Hallelujah. He says, will he not bring about justice for his elect or his favorite who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? He says, I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly, speedily, in haste. But however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And the literal translation of that is, will he find the faith on the earth? And the faith in Scripture, if you take the time to study it out, means God's faith. Will he find the faith of God being activated in the earth? And there's three things I want to really get across to you today. One is this, that God wants you to never stop praying. Never stop praying. Jesus said he taught them a story telling them that they should never stop praying and never lose hope or never be disheartened as they pray. And I really believe, you know, never stop praying. Why would you say to never stop praying? Why? Because prayer keeps your heart connected to hope. Prayer keeps your heart connected to hope. You find me someone who it looks like they're in a hopeless situation, or they are without hope, I can guarantee you that they have lost a connection with the Father in prayer. Because prayer keeps you connected to hope. You know, Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before he was crucified, he told his disciples, pray that you will not wander into temptation. And I believe that prayer will keep you from the temptation of turning your heart away from God. Prayer keeps you connected to hope. God is the God of all hope. It's communication. It's not just reciting, even though prayer can be reciting things. It's being real and open with the God who created you. And you know, part of this series and part of our desire, even as leaders in teaching you, is to help you to come to a place where your heart stays continually open with God. so that you can hear from Him, receive from Him, so that you even see how God sees you yourself, and you're not trying to hide anything. We can't really hide anything from the Lord. He sees everything. And there's some of you in here that, you know, in your own prayer closet, you've tapped into some surface levels of connecting, but God wants you to really get everything grounded. There's a connection, but the ground is not connected yet. There's some misfires. God wants you to be grounded in prayer so that every plug is connected where it needs to go. And, you know, when God reveals things to us about ourselves, and sometimes that's an ugly ordeal, isn't it? When the Lord shows you something about yourself that's there, He don't show it to you in order to pick on you and sit there and all the angels up there around about, hey, angels, come check this out. And they're all, No. When He deals with something in your life, He knows this. This is what's keeping you from being totally connected to Me. So let's together work on this so that you can come closer. Because that's an area of sin in your life, and sin can't be in My presence. And I so long to be with you. And we've got a desire to get whatever it is that would hinder that connection with God away from and out of the way of how we connect with Him, out of the way of what's trying to destroy our hope in believing that God will do what He says He can do, or that God will make a way where there is no way. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, it's all about that heart connection. It always is and always was and always will be the reason God moves and works upon us, because He wants to connect with our hearts. You know, we've been, you know, fasting here, and we were at Pat and Anita's house yesterday watching the Vikings game. Anybody see that? Anyhow, you know, with fasting, you know, all these commercials come on, and they just, man, those hot wings and that pizza and steak or whatever, just those commercials, they make it look so juicy. You're like, man. And you don't even know how much you want it until you're fasting, right? You're like looking at it like, oh. You find yourself, whoa, I dripped on myself, whoa, that looks so good. And you think about it, you smell it, or maybe you go into a room and you smell it. Some people's like, quit talking about it, Pastor, we're fasting. So, you walk into a room and you smell the aroma of a good dish, you know, maybe your wife or your husband's making, or a restaurant, you're like, oh, it smells so good. But you know what? The smell only temporarily satisfies. You're like, oh, that smells good. The satisfaction comes when you connect that food to your taste buds. Then you're like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And the satisfaction of being filled. Well, the heart is always satisfied when it's connected. Your heart will always be satisfied when it's connected, specifically connected to God Almighty. Amen? His will and His ways for your life. We're created to be connected to God. You know, I love this scripture in Ephesians 4:20. You've heard it many times. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That can be, you can say, that's His Word working in us. It's His Spirit working in us. I think I could say this without taking it out of context. It's the hope that we have in Him working within us. Remember, prayer keeps us connected to hope. And, you know, whenever we're talking about, you know, praying, you know, God wants us to always pray. We want to never stop praying because He wants our hearts to stay connected. Then there has to be kind of like a checking that we have to do, or, you know, kind of a maintenance thing, or, you know, a checklist to make sure that our hearts are connected, because our hearts can get disconnected. So we want to make sure that our hearts are always staying connected. So I want to talk just a moment about checking the heart connection. In James chapter 4, verse number 1, it says this, and reading down, what causes the quarrels and the fights among you? Think about that just for a minute. In your own life, what causes the quarrels and the fights among you, in your house, in your relationships? James goes on to say, don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, and so you scheme and kill to get it. You know, Jesus taught us that hatred is just as bad as murder. You know, we get this bitterness and hatred towards people maybe that have things that we don't have. It says, you're jealous of what others have, but you don't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it from them. Yet you do not have what you want because you do not ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. One translation says, you ask with the wrong motives. You want only what you can give. You want only what will give you pleasure. You know, James talks about some of this disconnect. He says, you don't have because we don't ask God. There's a dependency that God wants us to walk in that we're not walking in yet. Greater levels of dependency upon Him. When you get to the place that you feel like you don't need God, I guarantee you there's a disconnect. Because if we're connected to Him, we're always going to see that we need to be dependent upon Him. And James says the reason you don't have is because, number one, you're not even asking God. You're not looking to Him as your source. And then there's another disconnect on a different level. There's those, yeah, you see God as your source, but you're asking the wrong way. You're asking because you only want what you want. There's no thought about God the Father or His plans or His purposes. You want just what you want. These are things that get us disconnected. But not only does God want us to not stop praying or to never stop praying, He wants us to, number two, never stop asking. And asking for the right reasons. You know, it really does take the Word of God. This is why we have to be connected to Him, because our hearts are so deep and we are so easily deceived by ourselves that it's easy for us to just to go astray or to wander away from really hoping in God, as we talked about earlier. And God wants us to stay connected to Him because He wants us to receive what we're asking for. But we've got to ask with the right motives. And Jesus said this in John chapter 16, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. God wants you full. And what He wants you full of is joy. And that's kingdom. Because Paul said, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The joy of the Lord, it is the strength. Remember, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Anybody remember that? No? Wow, I'm going back. Praise the Lord. I am getting up there. Hallelujah. Never stop praying. Never stop asking. Ask that you will receive, that your joy may be made full. You know, it's funny because Jesus, whenever He was ministering to people, the majority of the time He asked two questions. One, what do you want me to do for you? Simple question. You need to know what you want before you'll even ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked this multiple times in the Gospels, in His earthly ministry, when people came to Him, what do you want from me? And not in a bad way, you know, like, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you? And then they would tell Him, and He would say, the next question, do you believe that I can do this? There's hope. You're asking God the Father, through Jesus, what you need. God designed it that He wants us to ask Him. He needs us to ask Him. It's that dependency. I'm looking to You. I'm asking You. And this is what I'm asking for. And it's in our asking that we have to look at ourselves and say, am I asking with the right motives, or am I asking for my own self? And sometimes that line is so thin, it really is hard to see. And you need to go back to the Word of God. And you need to get back in His presence, like we were talking about this morning. It's lingering in His presence that you give Him the time to deal with heart issues and define that line between soul and spirit, your desires and his desires. And sometimes that line is so thin, but the Word of God says that it's the Word that can distinguish between the soul and the spirit. And he'll let you know. And it's not a chastening. It's, I want to know your will in this area, God. What do I need to do? Am I doing this for the wrong reasons? Am I doing it because I want to? It could even be a good thing that you're wanting to do, but it is a God thing. Am I wanting to do this thing because I just want to do it, or am I doing this thing because I feel you are leading me this way to do it, because I want to be obedient to you? I don't cut time to get off track for a good thing or a bad thing. I want to do the God thing. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, God gives us an invitation to ask. He wants us to ask him. Jesus said, ask that, you know, you may receive, that your joy may be fulfilled. We see it through scriptures. I only chose a couple of them, but this is kind of like God's invitation for you to ask for the impossible. He wants you to ask for things that just even would blow your mind, that you know lines up with his word. And one of those is in Psalms chapter 2, verse number 8. And he's speaking this and prophesying about Jesus, but through Jesus to us as well. And he says, if you ask me, I will give you the nations. If you ask me, I'll give you things bigger than you are. We shouldn't be, as believers, we shouldn't just be asking things that we think that we're able to obtain on our own ability. One of the things I learned when I was a traveling minister, I think it was one of the major things that I learned that the Lord taught me, was this, that it will always take God's ability to do God's will. And if you can do it in your own ability, you're probably not in God's will in that area. Because it will always take reliance upon God, his grace, and his ability to do whatever it is he's asking you to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Then Jeremiah prophesies, he goes on and speaks to the prophet Jeremiah in 33:3. He says, ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets that you don't even know about. You see the ask, come, here's the invitation, the door's open, come and ask. Wow, okay, praise the Lord. Come and ask, and I'll show you things that you don't know about, things to come. That's even one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. He said that the Holy Spirit would come and he would lead us into all truth. He would show us things to come. When's the last time you asked the Lord to show you the future that he has for you? God, show me things to come for my family. Help me be aware of the traps and different things that the enemy's trying to set out there so I can be aware. Help me to be aware of the seasons that I'm in right now and the seasons that are coming so I can be prepared and I can walk in your ways. Amen. He wants us to ask him. It's like that challenge, you know, like you said, that scripture earlier, now he's able to do far abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to that hope, that power, his word, his spirit, living and residing on the inside of us. There's things that you're walking through right now that I can guarantee that you've lost hope in. You've lost a connection through prayer in God. You may be coming to him, but you've lost that connection of really connecting your heart and believing and getting that hope rising that God will do what he says he's going to do. It could be a lost loved one, and you've prayed for them, but now you're coming to God. Before, you were speaking the word, and you had a zeal and an excitement about it, but because it didn't happen in your timing, you're discouraged and your heart is weakened in it. God says, don't stop praying. Stay connected. Don't let your heart be dismayed. Stay in hope. Will he find the faith of God when he returns to the earth? It's like that challenge, man. He's asking you, go ahead. You know, there's nothing that's too difficult for God. Nothing is impossible for him. It's like he's saying, you're saying, God, it's been years. I prayed multiple times over my lost loved one, Lord God, and nothing is happy. Will you save them? And God says,
that was easy.
Nothing is too difficult for God. God, I don't know how it's going to happen. My loved one or myself, I have this disease in my body, but your word says that you are my healer. Will you heal me?
That was easy.
We come to God and really, in a state of hopelessness, we come to God thinking that he can't. We don't want to say it out, but down deep inside, in the root connection of all things, we're asking, but we're really not believing that he will. And he can. It's easy to him. It's easy, but we've got to stay connected. We've got to check ourselves. We've got to keep hoping. Never stop asking. You know, kids have this. Jesus talked about, you know, children, having the faith of children. If you don't come to me like a child, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. Children, it's easy for them to believe. Now, as they get older, it's kind of like us sometimes, you know, as we get older. When Micaiah and Kayla were really young, Silas is kind of still there in that age. My older kids, they would come to me, and no matter what was going, I mean, something could be broken in 1,000 pieces, and they'd bring it to Daddy. Daddy, fix it. Because they believe I could do anything. And it was a sad day when they found out that I couldn't. But we don't have that sad day with Jesus. There's nothing impossible for him. And you may have a shattered life, and you may have a shattered past, and things that seem to be broken right now that you're walking through, but God is a creative God. It may not come about the way that you have imagined it in your own mind, but God will bring it about. And you've got to stay connected in prayer. You've got to keep asking, putting your dependency upon him. And then the last thing, you've got to keep praying. Never stop praying. Never stop asking. God wants us to never stop believing. Can never stop believing. It's not alone just to come in and connect my heart and then to ask, but not to ask in faith. God, I've got to put it down. Faith gets challenged. We've got to keep on believing. And, you know, when we come to this place where we're never to stop believing, we come to the place where we have to deal with some divisions that happen within the heart. There's divisions that happen in your heart when it comes to staying in faith. And Jesus said this to his disciples in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7 and 8. And most translations just say, you know, ask and you will receive what you ask for. Seek and you'll find. But the literal translation of that is to keep on asking. And it doesn't mean keep on asking in the sense of I have to ask God, like this lady came to this widow came to the unjust judge and just kept asking until we wear God out. That is not what it means. It means I'm asking, and I ask in faith, and I keep coming to God believing that he is working on the situation. Amen? You know, where you get the promise of God in his presence is where you need to go back to when that promise is challenged by things around you, whether it be by somebody else or by the enemy. It gets solidified back in your heart when you go back into the same place where you got the promise to begin with in his presence. And you allow him to deal with all these different hindrances, and you talk with him and allow to weigh these things out. What the scripture here says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Man, maybe you've done that for so long, you've lost hope in that alone. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Now, I'm going to tag into last week's message just for a moment, because when we're asking, we know that the Bible said last week, we went over that scripture in 1 John 5, 13 and 14, where it says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we have whatever we've asked for. Ask according to his will and you will receive. Seek according to his will, and you will find. Knock on his door, and that door will be open to you. You know, David said this. I love this scripture in Psalms 27:13. He said, I would have lost hope, or I would have been discouraged, or my heart would have fainted if I didn't believe. What? That I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. This is the land of the living. I would have lost hope. I would have been disconnected. I would have been disheartened if I didn't believe, if I didn't keep my faith stirred up. Remember that parable that Jesus taught. He taught them to always pray and to never lose hope. And then he asked, will he find faith on the earth when he comes? Let's say yes and be determined. Amen. You don't know what's going on behind the situation. You don't know, you know, even as Jesus taught, God the Father taught throughout the whole Bible, you see that it's not in our timing. God has His timing, but at the same time, I'm going to keep on believing because I want to keep on receiving. And if there's things that need to be adjusted in my own life, then I'll come back into His presence so that they can be adjusted. Because God wants us to be filled. You know, there's a couple examples in Scripture. One of them, kind of that diswavering in the heart, one of them is when Paul, at the end of Acts, he is before King Agrippa, and he's giving his testimony of, you know, how he came to the Lord, and you know, he's there and testifying about, I'm really here because I believe in the resurrection from the dead. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and if I die before He comes back, I believe that my body will be raised up, and I'm going to be with Him. And he told this to the king and those who were listening. He says, "Why do you consider it unbelievable or impossible that God can raise the dead?" Here's a man full of faith. Why do you consider it to be impossible or unbelievable? Jesus said the same thing whenever some people had brought their friend who was paralyzed. You know, I can't remember if he was paralyzed from birth or whatever, but he was paralyzed. And the crowd was so thick in this house where Jesus was, they couldn't get in. So they, you know the story, they go up on top of the roof and they rip the roof apart. I'm sure they put it back. I mean, that's just the right thing to do, especially after a healing, right? But they ripped the roof apart and they put the man down. They were so desperate to get before, to connect with Jesus, to ask Him for what they wanted. And they put their friend before Him. And Jesus looked at them. I mean, He didn't necessarily, I'm sure that the Bible don't give us dialogue of what was going on, but it just says that Jesus looked at him and said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And all of a sudden, the Pharisees are there, and they begin to question among themselves and say, "How can he say this? You know, what right does he have? Who can forgive sins but God?" And the Bible says that Jesus, perceiving their hearts, said, "Which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or take up your bed and walk." And he said, "So that you know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, sir, take up your bed and walk." My point is this: for God, it's as easy to do everything else as it is to forgive you of your sins. No matter what it is, no matter how big the mountain is. Jesus said, "Which is easier? To forgive, to say forgive, or?" It's easy to God. We've got to believe. We've got to connect. Amen? But we've got to get into that reasoning, because this is what He said to them. Why reason in your hearts? Why reason in your hearts? The first time I saw this, I was reading this. You know, hearts are not made for reasoning. Your mind is where you reason. Your heart is where you believe. And this is why these Pharisees were off. They were trying to reason in a realm that wasn't meant for reasoning. It was meant for believing. You reason in your mind, you believe in your heart. Remember, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Not by reasoning in your mind and believing in your mind. To be honest with you, let's be honest with each other. Everything about the Christian faith is nonsense to the mind. You cannot understand it. You get revelation in your spirit first, which enables you to, by faith, understand with your mind. When God speaks to you, He don't speak to your mind. He speaks to your spirit. Amen? And He helps you understand. So they got off. They were reasoning in their hearts. And this is where we get. Sometimes we get to the place where we're asking and we're not receiving because we're asking with those wrong motives, or we're asking and we're thinking that we're in faith, but we're still reasoning. As long as we stay in the realm of reason, we're in the realm of the enemy, because Satan works in the realm of reason. God works in the realm of faith. Amen? You reason with your mind. You believe in your heart. So There's a couple scriptures, and you can write these down if you're taking notes. The first one is Isaiah 1:18. Another one is Isaiah 42:21, and I'll repeat these. And Isaiah 43:26. In this is God's invitation. He wants us to believe. He wants us to ask. He knows that there's going to be a reasoning process between us in order to get us in the faith, because God wants you to be filled, so he wants you to get connected to him. He wants you to ask, and he wants you to be in faith. So he's willing to take the time necessary to get you out of your reasoning and to get you into faith. And this is how he does it. In Isaiah 1:18, he says, "Come and let's reason together." Let's reason together. Meaning, okay, you tell me your reasonings, I'll tell you my reasonings. Let's get this, let's put it on the table. Now, he takes it a little bit further in Isaiah 41:21, where he says, "Present your case before me." And you know, sometimes when you're going through the reasoning process, it can get pretty heated, especially when you tap into areas of your own heart that you've suppressed for so long. This is what happens when spouses fight, right? Something gets in there and it's pressed down for so long, and whenever there's already a flow going, right? Yeah, there's a flow going. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to bring in this river too. Oh, yeah, it's been waiting for a long time. Yeah. Right? And it just gushes out. I never knew. You know, God's not intimidated by this stuff. We get to a place, it does get frustrating because we think we're in faith when we're only in reasoning. Because we're doing it with our minds and not with our hearts. And God will always, that's why it don't make sense sometimes when God says stuff. You know, you ever read the scriptures, especially in the Gospels with Jesus? He'll be telling one thing and there's like a whole theme and all of a sudden he goes, bam, and you're like, what the heck just happened? Because he's dealing with a heart issue. It's still in the same context, but he's dealing with something. He's going straight to the heart issue because he wants them to get what he just said, but they're not getting it, so let's just get to the heart issue. He's trying to get them out of reason into faith. So come, let us reason together. And then he says in that Isaiah 41:21, present your case before me. He says, go ahead, bring forward your strong arguments. I understand this could get heated. God's not intimidated. I've had some heated conversations with the Lord. I have. I've learned to be more respectful over the years. As at first, whenever it was just raw emotions. It gets ugly when it's raw emotions. Right? But I've learned there's kind of a twofold thing, because God wants you to get, he wants you to get that reasoning out of your heart, because that reasoning falls in line with unbelief. You can be in faith and unbelief at the same time, and that unbelief can hinder the faith that you want to move forward to receive what God is saying. Amen? So sometimes we don't need more faith, we need less unbelief. It's that reasoning part. Get it out of your heart. Make room for faith. Leave reasoning where it's supposed to be. Amen? And then he says, come, let's reason. Come, present your case. Bring forward your strong arguments. And then a few chapters later, he kind of recites the same thing again, and he adds this in Isaiah 43:26. I want to prove you right. I want you to win. I want you to ask. I want you to stay connected. I want you to be in faith because I want your joy to be full. This is my joy when your joy is full. So go ahead, come. Let's reason. Go ahead, come. Bring your strong arguments. Go ahead. Present your case because I want to prove you right. He's not being, you know, whenever God, he's not being objective to you in order to be, you know, standoffish or because he don't want to bless you. He's doing that because he can't stand be away from who he is. He's the truth. He's trying to lead you to the truth so he can set you free. Amen? So this is what I ask, and I'll close. You know, I've asked this to our pastors before, and Pastor Arthur, he was a great man of faith. He's in heaven now. I've seen many signs and wonders through him. As the Lord did through his life, and just a strong apostolic leader. And he always taught us, you know, when you're in faith, you know, he goes, this is like, how do you know when you're in faith? You know, come on. I mean, I want to be in faith. And he always said, you'll know when you know. And in a sense, that's true. But you know what? I think God wants to add to that, because how do I know? I mean, because I understand. It's just like when you get saved, you know when Christ comes and lives on the inside. You're different. I mean, You get saved. Bible says old things pass away, all things become new. So, I mean, Christ came in. There's a difference here. And sometimes it's a progressive difference, like as you're going, all of a sudden you see a movie that you never even thought of before, and all of a sudden now that Christ is on the inside, you're watching that movie, it's like, oh, whoa, I never seen that before. Whoa, what are they saying? What is going on? Because now the Spirit of God is living on the inside of you, and He's showing you things that are grieving to Him. Amen. And you decide, well, I'll just keep on watching this anyhow because I want to be entertained. Or, I don't like that. It grieves me, too, to know that it's grieving Him, and I don't want to bring the Holy Spirit and sit this as entertainment. You know. Anyhow, so if you're watching something, that would be the Lord. I'm just brought that as an example. But so I asked the Lord, okay, Pastor Arthur taught us that, you know, you'll know when you know, and that was good for a season. But I asked Him the other day, I said, Lord, there's got to be more. There's got to be a way that we can know that when you're in faith. These are the two things that I got, and I'll share them with you. Number one, how to know you're in faith. Here's one way. By what comes out of your mouth when what you're believing for is challenged or attacked. You'll know you're in faith by what comes out of your mouth when what you're believing for is challenged or attacked. You can probably think in your own mind, I can do in my own. There's times when I thought I was in faith about something, and we have to remember what Jesus said, and the Bible teaches us, when you believe in something, the devil is going to try to come and take it away. And God will test our faith. He will put us in situations. It's not that He brings those situations upon us, but He will allow situations to be there in order to test if we are in faith or not. And I remember it's happened in my life many times where you're believing for something, and then when the pressure comes on, do you continue to speak faith? And not just speak it, because if you're really not in faith, your confession will change. You can't. If you're really not in faith, your confession will not stay in faith. When you are in faith, your confession will stay in faith. Amen? And I've been there where I've been believing for something, and it's when the heat's on that all of a sudden I begin to, you know, self-pity. Well, maybe I missed it. I guess I'm just everybody always said it all my life. I guess I just don't hear well or what. Well, I just lost faith, or I didn't step into faith. And when you get to that place, you need to get excited about it, because even if you find that you're just in reason right now, you're not full of faith, it's one step away. That's how close it is. One step away of being in faith. That's exciting. And God will keep bringing you around that mountain, clear back to that heated seat, to those strong arguments, until you see it His way and obey His way so that you can get His way. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's one way. So, you know, but it's by what comes out of your mouth when what you're believing is challenged or attacked. And, you know, when faith is under fire is when, I wrote this morning as I was going over them again, when faith is under fire is when confession most often changes course. Your confession will most often change course when your faith is under fire. But if you hold the course, hold the line, amen, God will see you through. The second way, it's only two that the Lord gave me, to show if you're in faith, when your heart remains thankful and peaceful while being challenged and attacked. So one way is by what comes out of your mouth when what you're believing for is being challenged and attacked, and the other one is when your heart remains thankful. You can't be thankful without being in faith. And peaceful. You can't be peaceful without being connected to Jesus while being challenged and attacked. And guess what? It will not make sense to your mind. That's why it's called the peace that passes all comprehension. I have no idea how I could be at peace right now, but yet I do. Because it's the peace that passes all comprehension in Jesus. It's not my mind ain't going to understand it, but my spirit is receiving it. Amen? I'll leave you with this scripture. This is where the Lord showed me after telling me these two things. It's Philippians 4, 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing. The Passion Translation says, don't be pulled in different directions. But in everything, by prayer, really connecting, in supplication, asking, with thanksgiving, faith, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The Passion Translation says that last verse this way, God's peace will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. The Message says, before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. This is what he's trying to do. When we get all heated, we all get excited, he wants to settle us down. He wants to prove us right. But we get all heated up and we get tired of the heated up situation that we leave when it's still heated up instead of letting that heat resolve so that we can be proved right in God. Amen. You got to stick it out. Let those strong arguments out all on the table. It's not going to offend the Lord because he wants to prove you right in his ways. Amen. So God wants us to never give up praying, never stop praying, never stop asking, never stop believing. Would you stand up this morning?